Luke 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Well, that's a wonderful statement, isn't it? That's how we ought to desire to find favor with him. We know the Lord's pleased with our life. Verse 31, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, that's a wonderful blessing, wonderful promise, but in Mary's mind, here's the obvious question. How can this be if, how can I have a child and I'm still a virgin? How, she's confused about this, as you think she should be. Look at verse 34. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Another great verse there. And then verse 38, Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, as we think about Christmas and think about the Christmas season in our American society, there's probably two common commentaries, news commentaries about the Christmas season. Anytime we get into Christmas, two things are usually talked about. Number one is the bemoaning, as it were, of the commercialization of Christmas. Maybe rightfully so. We say, boy, look at everything. Christmas is about buying, and Jacob told me he went to Walmart on Black Friday, and he survived, so I guess it can be done. He's still here. But maybe a little bit worse for the wear, maybe some bruises or such, but he went to... Now, if you go out there for Black Friday, you know that people are not walking through Walmart singing Christmas carols normally, are they? There's some elbows maybe, maybe trying to, reach in and get that last one. Around here, I don't know if anything bad happened, but you see on the news, you'll see, fights break out and all these things happen. And there's a bemoaning, a concern that the Christmas is all about money. It's all about gifts. And you say, that's not what Christmas is about. So there's a bemoaning of the commercialization of Christmas. So that you'll see that commentary, kind of a running commentary through Christmas. What's interesting, at the same time, sometimes on the same channel, sometimes by the same commentator, there's another bemoaning, and that is the dip in sales. Because everything about retail is about Christmas. I'm not sure what percentage. Some say half. I've heard that half of a company sales is made just during Christmas. And so there's a bemoaning. Boy, we got to make sure the sales... Now, you think, aren't these kind of opposite? We say, how is Christmas so commercialized? And boy, we hope we have higher sales during Christmas. It's like, now wait a minute, these are opposite things here. Now, for much of American society, and I know this is a wide brush, but I think I'm being fair by this, Christmas is only vaguely about the biblical Christmas story. Notice I said the biblical Christmas story. There's a lot of Christmas that goes in our Christmas holiday, but it's not all biblical. Okay, I know the teens are with us. Hopefully I don't burst too many bubbles. Okay, but when we think about Frosty and Rudolph, the guy in the red suit, okay, that's not part of the biblical Christmas story. Yeah, I saw somewhere, this is some time ago, I saw a nativity scene. It had Mary and Joseph, had the baby, had the shepherds, had the wise men, had Rudolph, had Santa, had Frosty. I'm thinking you've added something here to the Christmas story. Okay, but that's not all part of the biblical Christmas story. Now, many may know the biblical Christmas story. I'm not saying they're ignorant of it, but it's not the focus. I mean, for many people, The biblical part of the Christmas story is not the focus of their Christmas. Let me give you a couple of more pointed, poke-in-the-eye comments. Okay, now again, we think about our American society. Consider how many people, again, I'm not talking about Christians, I'm just talking about our society in general. Consider how many people will have Christmas parties, okay? They'll invite people to a Christmas party. Come to our house, we're going to celebrate Christmas. Okay, now let me just stop. When we're talking about Christmas, we're talking about whose birth? Jesus. Okay, they come to our Christmas party, and they have drinking and all kinds and certain other immorality things happening. And you're thinking, now wait a minute, how does that attach to Christmas? We remove the whole focus of the reason for it. We basically use Jesus' birthday as a way to live in opposition to what Jesus stood for. Now, let's make it a little more pointed. Let's take the stick out, sharpen it a little bit more. Ready? Consider how many Christians, okay, I'm not talking about American society in general, I'm talking about people who claim to be born again. How many Christians, how many church members will skip church on Christmas Sunday? Now think about that. We talk about the biblical Christmas story and, oh, look at the world, the world has forgotten the reason, as we sit home Christmas Sunday unwrapping our gifts. Kind of ironic, isn't it? So we throw a birthday party, and we never invite the one who has the birthday. Because it's all about us and the gifts, and we kind of push Jesus right out of the mix. Now, we can lament or complain or criticize because of the world's lack of worship during Christmas. Or we can do this. We can decide that we're going to have the right mindset. We're going to worship the Lord regardless of what the world is doing. We're going to do what's right about this. Now, if you think about the world, whether talking about our society or the world in general, the number one reason the world doesn't worship Jesus during Christmas is they don't know Jesus. I mean, to them, for some of them, Jesus and, what's this last, maybe you saw this, there was a billboard, was it last Christmas? And it was put up by an atheist, and it had, I think, a picture of Santa saying something like, you know, don't celebrate Christmas because of a false person named Jesus. Santa saying that. You're like, I think, again, you scratch your head and say, that just doesn't even make sense. But now, the number one reason the world does not incorporate Jesus into their Christmas holiday is they don't know Jesus as their Savior. So it really, we're not trying to pile on them. We're not trying to kick them and make fun of them. They don't even know Jesus. But we ought to look to us who claim to know Christ as our Savior, that we have some relationship with Him, some knowledge of Him. That's who we should say, now, let's make sure we have this right sense, this right focus, this right season to worship the Lord during this time. So then the question becomes, how can we have this spirit of worship? Or how can we celebrate Christmas in a way that celebrates the real reason? So I'm about to give you some things to write down. Let me make sure I give you the right foundation. So what we're trying to say this morning is this. It does no good to make fun of the world, mock the world. I mean, it does because we get to laugh at them. But really, as far as changing the world, okay, they are who they are. They're unsaved people living like unsaved people. If we're going to focus on this idea of having the right reason for Christmas, we ought to focus on those who say they know Christ. We ought to be the ones who have the right reason. The world is going to be the world, but let the people of God be the people of God in this. And so how can we have this right reason, this right focus as we think about the Christmas season? Well, let me give you five thoughts about it to help us during this time. Here's number one. Live for Christ even when it isn't Christmas. Now, why do I say that? Let's go back to our text, chapter 1, verse 26. And the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now notice what this angel says. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now let's drop down to verse 30, if you will. Then he said, and the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, here's a question. You ready? You looking at me? Okay. You ever hear this question, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Remember, you ever hear that question? Okay. So I'm going to give you a question like this, but it's a much easier answer. What came first, Mary living for God or the angel Gabriel speaking to Mary? What do you think came first? Mary living for God. It wasn't like the angel showed up and Mary said, oh, I think I better start living for God. I better start doing right. The idea was there was already a habit, a lifestyle living for the Lord before this angel ever spoke to him. And so as we think about this idea of a spirit of worship, we need to understand it just can't happen once a year during Christmas. This should be our spirit. This should be our focus all year round. Let me put it this way. It is difficult to live for Christ during Christmas if we've neglected Him all year. It just is odd. It's not usual. It just doesn't happen naturally because it's not a part of who we are if we've ignored Him all year. In other words, it's easier to make Him the reason for this season when He's the reason for all the other seasons of the year. Now, what if someone finds himself in this situation? Let's say it's Christmas 2016. You look back over the whole year of 2016 and say, boy, not a very good year here. Man, I really haven't lived for the Lord. Are you telling me, Pastor White, that I have no hope of living for the Lord during the Christmas season? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's easier if we've already done it. But what if we haven't done it? Well, that's where God's grace comes in. You know what you do? Fess up. Say, Lord, you know what? I've really not lived for you this year. But Lord, I want to. Now, I want you to forgive me. Lord, I want you to help me to live for you during this Christmas and continue into the 2017. Be honest with the Lord, ask for His forgiveness, and then just be amazed by the grace that He shows you. All I'm trying to do is give you a warning. We can't fool ourselves into thinking that we can take God, boil Him down to one time in the year during the Christmas season, have this kind of veneer of Christianity during Christmas, and then the rest of the year ignore Him. That's what we got to make sure we avoid. If you've messed up, God's always forgiving. He can always help you. We can always go forward and live for Him. But as we go forward, the idea is that I'm not just doing it during Christmas. I want this to be a part of my life. Let me give it to you one more time. So if we want to keep Christ in Christmas, then we need to keep Christ in the rest of the year. And you'll already have a place come Christmas. It'll be natural. It'll be normal. Let me see if I can give you an illustration. When I go out to eat, and I'm sitting down, and we went to out to eat yesterday. And so we're getting ready to eat. Now, it is natural for me, before I open my big mouth and start shoving food in. It's kind of a scary sight at times. Before I do that, it is natural for me to ask the Lord to bless the food. Now, you know why? Because if I'm at home, guess what? That's what I do at home. And so when I'm out, it's just a continuation. It's not like I sit there and say, okay, now everyone's looking, so we better pray because people... No, I'm not doing it because they're watching me. I'm doing it because it's just what we do. I'm a born-again believer. I thank the Lord for the food He's given me, whether I'm home or in a restaurant. The same thing is true about Christmas. If we already are thinking about the Lord and trying to live for the Lord, then come Christmas, it's normal to say, well, let's put Christ in Christmas because He's in the rest of my life all the rest of the year. And so that is the key. If we really want the Christ to be in His right place in Christmas, then we got to make sure He's in the right place all the other times of the year. Let me give you number two. Here's a second thought about this. Purposely focus on Christ during Christmas, regardless of whether you've done it all the past year or maybe you haven't and they're trying to make things right. Okay, whichever position you're in, let's purposely focus on Christ during Christmas. Brings us to verse 31. Notice the focus of what the angel is talking about. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. Everything about Christmas is this right here. Thou shalt bring forth a son and shall call His name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he, again, we're talking about Jesus, shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, if we are trying to put Christ in Christmas, okay, and trying to live for him all year, as it were, it's still difficult to do that as we live in a secular society. Okay, our secular society, by its makeup, does things secularly. Okay, and so it's not easy, so we have to purposely focus on Christ. So our secular society has naturally secularized Christmas. They have sought to take Christ out. They shouldn't surprise us. They don't know who Christ is. Why should it surprise us they get rid of him? And I mentioned that billboard, but for the average person out there, Santa and Jesus is basically as real as each other. To them, they don't know Christ. To them, Jesus is a fairy tale. Santa is a fairy tale. Maybe some of them maybe believe more in Santa than they do Jesus. So we can't sit out there and just lament and just say, oh, look, okay, the world is who the world. But if we just go with the flow, we're going to be like them. So we got to say, now, wait a minute. I need to purposely, in my life, focus on putting Christ in Christmas. So we have to purposely, okay, that's a key, purposely put Christ in Christmas. In other words, Christmas is about who? It's about Jesus. It isn't about Santa. It isn't about Frosty. And it's not about Rudolph. Now, let me say this to be fair. I'm not anti-Santa, okay? I'm not saying if you put a Santa up in decoration that you're, you know, that's the mark of the devil and you're going to go to hell. Boy, how dare you do that? I'm not saying that, okay? It doesn't bother me if someone has a Santa decoration. It doesn't bother me at all. Okay, I'm not anti-Santa. I'm not anti-Frosty. I'm not anti-Rudolph. But in my own personal life, I want to focus on Jesus. Because I know this, if I don't, I'll just go the way of the world. So I'm going to focus on who Jesus is and why he's here and what is Christmas about. I'm not criticizing. If someone puts a sleigh scene out in front of their yard, I'm not criticizing them. But I'm saying this, we have to stop and say, that's the fairy tale. The reality is the manger scene, that Jesus came and was born. Now, whether it's December 25th or April 25th or June 25th is immaterial because we don't know the exact day he was born. Hope that doesn't surprise you. We don't know if it was December 25th. Most likely it was not. Most likely it was in the spring. But we have a group of people in the world have set aside December 25th as the day we celebrate his birth. And that's what I want to focus on, the birth of Jesus. Not whether or not Frosty's going to melt, whether Rudolph's nose is going to glow, or Santa's going to make it around the world with all the presents. I want to focus on the birth of Jesus Christ. So Christmas should be about manger scenes, about shepherds, about wise men, obviously about the baby Jesus. Christmas is not about sleighs and reindeers and elves and Grinch living above Whoville. Now again, I'm not criticizing that. I like watching Grinch. I like watching Scrooge and all. It's a Wonderful Life. I enjoy those movies. But I'm saying I have to purposely think about what is Christmas about. Let me put it this way. Maybe this explains it better. Our focus should be on Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. I'm not just celebrating a holiday. I'm celebrating the birth of Christ. That's what I want my focus to be. So we're thinking about this season of worship, that we're going to put Christ in Christmas, that we want to focus on it, so let's try to live for him all year, so it'll be a natural thing during Christmas to live for him. Let's purposely focus on Christ during Christmas. Okay? Now let me give you a couple more thoughts about this. Number 3, keep a tender heart towards God during this season. It's easy to get caught up in all of the other things and sometimes even get bitter or mad or angry about all the things that go on. You got to keep a tender heart towards God. We'll go back to our verses. Look at verse 34. Then said Mary to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? There's a certain tenderness there that she's not doubting the Lord. She just doesn't know what the Lord is doing. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So here's what I would say to you. Don't let the world's secularization of Christmas rob you of your Christmas joy. I think sometimes we get so upset with the world. Okay, let me back up. This is why I'm not going to walk around and get mad because someone puts a sleigh up. I can't believe. Okay, that's how they're celebrating it. Fine. But I want to focus on Jesus. That's what I want to do because I know how easy it is to go with the flow and go the wrong way. So I don't want to get upset with what people are doing. If someone says to me, Happy Holidays, I'm not going to yell, it's Merry Christmas to you! Okay, that's not the right attitude. And Merry Christmas to you too! Okay, that's not the way you want to have a tender heart about these things. I think sometimes we get so much in a fighting fundamental mindset that we're not always a good testimony of a loving, compassionate God about these things. So we want to have a tender heart. So how can you do that? Let me give you a couple quick ideas. Okay? Take time to enjoy the beautiful scenes. Now, don't cry, please. It will snow. I know, it's a sad thought, isn't it? But let me tell you, one of the most beautiful scenes is when you see the snow out there and the lights on it reflecting off the snow. That's beautiful. So take time to see the beautiful scenes. Enjoy them. Enjoy the season. Let your heart be tender about these things. Okay, listen to some good God-honoring Christmas music. Okay, Frosty the Snowman. Okay, if that's your song, then so be it. But I would say take some time to hear some good God-honoring Christmas music. You know, things like we sing in church, but there's even more than that. You know, Silent Night, isn't that a beautiful song? You know, one of my favorite times, about 2 years ago, we went to Crocker Park for the lighting of the tree. And so did about 2 million other people I noticed when I got there. Everyone went there. But they had the tree lit, and they were playing Christmas hymns, like Silent Night, and things like that in, Little Town of Bethlehem. I thought, boy, isn't that, and there's something about those songs. Okay. You know, here you listen to Feliz Navidad, and then you listen to, Oh Come All You Faithful. It just does something different to you. And so take some time, listen to some good God-honoring Christmas music. And then you be the one who spreads the Christmas joy. You be the one. Don't wait on the world. You say, I'm going to spread Christmas joy. So here's what I tell you. Take time alone to think about the Christmas story and thank God for it. Now we're talking about trying to put Christ, making Him the focus, taking some time to worship Him during this Christmas season. Here's a good question to ask yourself. You ready? Read the Christmas story. And primarily, we normally read it Christmas Day, but you can read it prior to Christmas Day, and that's Luke chapter 2, if you don't know where it is. It's Luke chapter 2, all the way down to, starting in verse 1 down to verse 20. That's what we typically call the Christmas story. Read those verses, then ask yourself this. What does the Christmas message mean to me? Take some time and ask yourself and think about that. What does that mean to me? Okay, forget about Frosty and Grinch and all those. Read the Christmas story and say, what does that mean to me? How's the Lord speaking to my heart? That helps you have that tender heart towards the Lord. Let me give you the fourth thing. Number 4. Share Christmas with those friends and loved ones that you can. Now, I'm going to go maybe a little different direction in a moment, so bear with me, but go back with me to Luke 1. I think another thing that gets us in trouble, we get caught up in the world's mindset of what we have to do for Christmas. We put this stress upon us that the Lord does not put, and then we get all mad at the Lord, and it's not His fault. Look at verse 36. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is a 6th month with her, who was called barren. It's interesting during this time that he points to someone else in the family to connect with. I think that's interesting. So share Christmas with those friends and loved ones that you can. Now, I'm going to go a little different direction, so I want you to listen carefully. We discourage ourselves because we can't send either a Christmas card to everyone we want to or buy a gift for everyone that we think we should. And some people during Christmas, they're miserable. They're thinking, well, I can't buy a gift for them. And look, I can't do anything for them. And we go through Christmas discouraged and miserable, depressed. It's not a time of rejoicing. It's a time where for some people, it's the worst time of the year. Now let me tell you this, you probably can't do everything for everyone you want to do. That's just reality of it. Especially if you have I'll be transparent here, knowing that I'm going to make some people very upset with this about me. Okay, but when it comes to Christmas, here's who I buy for. I buy for my wife. I buy something for my 5 kids. We don't go whole hog. We buy something for each one of them. Buy something for my grandkids, my 2. And then I usually send flowers to my mom and send flowers to my mother-in-law. And that's it. You say, well, what about your aunts, your uncles, your cousins? And we send them a Christmas card. Well, don't they expect more? Don't know. Never ask. Okay? That's what I can do. And I'm not going to sit there and go and spend Christmas discouraged because I'm not doing everything that everyone expects me to do. Now, if you can do more, do more. If you can't do that much and you got to do less, you do less. You do what you can do and realize this. We get in this idea. We talk about, well, Jesus is the reason. And then we're going crazy trying to buy gifts for everyone. And we ruin our Christmas time because he's not the reason. And so we got to go back and say, okay, I'm going to share Christmas with those friends and loved ones. And I'm going to do as much as I can. But I'm not going to be depressed and discouraged if I can't do everything. Figure out what you can do, and then do it with as much love and kindness as you can. Now, watch this statement. I heard this statement years ago. I've tried to keep it with me. It's a great statement. Learn to make Christmas about the presence and not the presence. The presence as in being with people, not the presence as in giving things to people. Now, I'm not trying to attack anyone or criticize anyone. But I think this idea that we got to have this big mountain of gifts for our kids, we don't have to. If you can, I'm not sure if you should even if you can, but if you do, we shouldn't be having to spend all year paying off credit cards for all the money we spent over Christmas. That's not a wise way to spend your money. Nor is it trying to give your kid everything they want. You know, here's what's funny, especially when they're little. You give them a bunch of things, they open all the boxes. They put all the toys aside and play with the boxes. Isn't that a funny thing sometimes? And so we can't make Christmas put this guilt on us that we have to just go crazy and buying all this stuff. Now, I know Walmart wants you to think that, and so does all the other places, but okay, you can only do what you can do. And so do what you can do, but then make sure it's not about just the gift you're giving them, it's the present, it's connecting with them. In other words, let me put it one more way. Don't try to impress with your gifts. Just let them know you love them. It's really what Christmas is about. It's connecting with people and sharing really the great gift of love with them that we think about during Christmas time. Now, with that said, let me give you number 5. And again, give me a moment afterwards to explain it. Number 5 is this. Accept that not every Christmas will be the way you want it. You can't fantasize this perfect Christmas and then completely go unhinged because reality didn't meet fantasy. Reality seldom, if ever, matches fantasy. Look at verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The angel departed from her. I doubt if Mary was expecting that first Christmas night to be the way it originally that she had probably thought. You know, I'm married. I've never been with my husband, yet I'm going to have a baby. Now, just think about that. That surely didn't work the way that Mary thought it was going to be. Now, think about it this way as well. I doubt Mary, now think about that first Christmas night. I doubt Mary would have chosen to be giving birth in a stable. When the angel came to her and said, you're going to have a child and it's going to be the Son of God. I don't think she said, oh good, let's find a barn and have that baby. I don't think that's how she was thinking. I don't know what she thought because the Bible doesn't tell us. But my guess is this. As we know the events unfolded, had nothing to do with how far she thought it would unfold. I would think, again I'm going to put myself in those shoes, if the Lord is making this promise, I'm thinking if it's the Lord's child, boy, think of all that the Lord's going to do to make this the greatest, easiest birth in the world. But yet, in many ways, it was the hardest. I mean, who would want to have a child in a barn like that? Which I always chuckle at because when I was growing up and you left the door open, what did Mom say? What? You're born in a barn? What if Mary ever said that to Jesus? Yeah, I was. Now that you mention it. Now, think about this. I want you to engage your brain on this. Think about how this applies to your life. You ready? Often our most remembered and loved holidays are those which had unplanned events. Think about that. Things didn't go your way, but sometimes going differently created a lot better memories than if it went our way. I'll give you an illustration. Now, over Thanksgiving, on that Thursday, we had some folks over. Charisse was there, and Charisse's mom was there. Her mom lives in Elkins, West Virginia. So she was up, and they came over, and other folks were over. But this is what I was thinking about. I don't know if you saw this, but where I was sitting, we had a whole bunch of people. So we're all kind of scattered, kind of crowded around the table. It was like 12 chairs around this table. And your mom was sitting right beside me, I believe. Okay, so I was here. My wife was there. I'm here. Aunt Darlene was there. Then I think Bethany or something. Then you were there. So someone, I think it was Amanda, was coming. She had food, okay? And as she's coming, so we're sitting around the table here, and she's coming around, and it, from the corner of my eye, what it looked like is that she looked over in the living room, was looking at something, and she came around and sat down. What she didn't see is your mom, right when she's coming behind your mom kind of moved back like she was going to scoot back. In the corner of my eye, I saw, poof, and the food go flying. That's what and that reminded me of something. When my wife and I had a rehearsal back in 1986, rehearsal dinner. Okay, we had a rehearsal, wedding rehearsal. Okay, rehearsal what? Wedding rehearsal. After wedding rehearsal, we had wedding rehearsal dinner. Of course, you were there. Your mom was there. And this is at Trudy's, when Trudy's used to be over in Lorraine. And we were around this big table, and your mom was talking. The waitress came. She had pies for everyone. Okay, carrying this tray of pies, and your mom was talking, and she said something like, ah, and poof, and there went a piece of pie, and there's the photographer, splat, right on the photographer, going in his face, I think it hit him in the face, splat in the face. Now, you know what? When it comes to that rehearsal dinner, I don't know what we ate. Okay, I don't know what we talked about. I really don't know all that was there. I assume you're there, because you're in the wedding. I know Aunt Darlene was there, because I know she was involved in this, and I know I was there, and I'm pretty sure my fiance / soon-to-be wife was there. I don't remember, but at that one thing I remember. That unplanned event made it very memorable. Memorable, there's the word. Memorable to me. Now, you know what? When things happen, don't get overstressed by it. Realize sometimes God allows unplanned events, maybe even to bring more joy than what our planned events would be. So don't get overstressed. Just enjoy the holiday. Christ gets pushed out of Christmas because we get so caught up in our perfect holiday, our perfect Christmas schedule. And when the Lord intervenes and wiggles himself in, we get all in a huff and a puff about it. But maybe the Lord's just trying to get us to focus on him. Let me give you two statements. We'll be done. Okay? We need to refocus our attention on the real meaning of Christmas, so that we can overcome the stress that many feel during this holiday. That is amazing when you think about how many are stressed out during Christmas. Then I'll give you the last statement. Ready? It is a heart of worship that overcomes a heart of worry. Hopefully some of that helps you over the Christmas holiday.